God, we give you thanks. We thank you for the invitation to a wedding. We thank you that you have provided the oxen. You have set the table. And all we have to do is come and eat. Father, we didn't deserve this meal, but it's provided by your grace, your blessings, and your promises. So the table is set, the food is ready, the fattened calf is cooked. Ultimately represents the sacrifices you have made so we can sit at the table. So, Father, as we celebrate the wedding today, I ask that you open our hearts to accept, to receive, and to attend the wedding. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Crystal. Can always use you as my cheerleader. Good morning, church. Hope you guys are doing okay. I didn't know how this was going to work out. Can you turn up the lights a little bit, please? I didn't know how this is going to work out, but I hope it's working out. If you are, there's some empty seats here. If you want to just get up and get to a seat. Amanda, I know you have the dog this morning. If you can find to join a table towards where your area there would be great. If you guys can make room for Amanda by the table towards the back. There's Ray over here, Amanda. You can grab the dog and just... and also, kids, I don't want you to approach the dog, okay? The dog is on duty and is working. So make sure we keep stay away from that. So we can make room in the back there for Amanda to join at one of the tables. That'd be great. So if you ever wonder what heaven it's like, instead of me telling you what heaven is like, this is what heaven is like. You're going to sit across from people that you might not know, or people that you might have gossip about, or people that you really loved as well. Heaven is a place where at the table where there is no ethnicity, there's no economic backgrounds, there's no gender of separations. Heaven, it's a place where you sit at the table and it won't be awkward, because all those shame and hurt and the gossips and the slanders and the separation between us because of our skin color or our political backgrounds or our economic class that we live in, the neighborhoods we live in, there's no separation in that. In heaven, you're going to sit at the table. And I hope it's not awkward for you. And the Bible actually gave us the meal that they were eating, the kind of food they were eating. Several times Jesus told stories when the son comes home, the father would kill a what? A fattened calf. And then Jesus would tell a parable, which I'm going to cover in a little bit. He says, heaven, it's like a king who has prepared an oxen. So he even gave clues to what heaven's going to be like. So if you are a dude like me who loves a good piece of steak medium, heaven's going to be awesome for you as well, right? And if you're not into like the steaks and stuff like that, he has other things too, vegetables and whatnot, right? So it covers everybody. They even give specific food in heaven. We're going to cover that in details in a second. But one thing I want to share with you is Revelation 19. The way it's set up today is for us to understand this passage of Scripture. So we've been covering the book of Revelation. Come on in. There's Ruben's right here, Alicia. Come on in, come on. You're getting married, Alicia, so Alicia is not shy of attention. No, I'm just kidding. So we're just going to make her walk all the way forward to the front here. Go ahead, right here. Wait, right, Priscilla, raise your hand. There you go. Very good. Oh, yeah. So what you're experiencing is this passage of Scripture right here today. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne And they cry, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah, for our God, our Lord God Almighty reign. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. That fine linen, bright and clean, the bride is you. It is you. It's us. That's what we've been waiting for. But first, the night Jesus was betrayed, how we're going to do this is on each table, there's a cup. And each table, there's the bread. Don't touch the cup yet. We're going to do that at the end of the service. So Jesus, the night before he went on the cross, God bless you. That's right. The night before Jesus went on the cross, he says, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread. So there's bread on your tables. Go ahead and take one and pass it out to everybody. I have mine here as well. And after he has the bread in his hand, he broke it and gave some to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body. And Paul elaborated in Corinthians, he says, do this in remembrance of me. So let's take the bread together. Father, we remember that we are forgiven. The oxen, the fattened calf, the Lamb of God was sacrificed for us. The meal on the table is your forgiveness offering to us. That's the wedding invitation. So as we take that this morning, I ask and pray that you continue to bless your people as we remember that we are living in your spirit, that we're living in your forgiveness. We're going to be there one day to have this meal with you again in Revelation 19. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. So the night Jesus was betrayed, the disciples were sitting at the table and they were all leaning back, they were all eating. So the next few moments, I know in our church we take communion every Sunday, and we reduce it to the bread and the cup because of time, and just it's impossible to provide a meal every Sunday. But if we do provide a meal every Sunday, our church will grow really fast. That's like church planning growing 101, right? Just provide meals every Sunday. But we're not going to do that. But this Sunday, communion is going to be you eating together at the table. So what we have set up is four stations, this sausage and eggs and bagels and fruit. No fattened calves or oxen, I'm sorry, I can't do that. But I want you to get up, get a plate, sit back down, and commune, and eat, and talk. And you're going to hear my voice in a little bit, and we'll get into the sermon portion. So let's get up, go to your station, grab something, go back, and greet one another. Have your food. Let me have your attention. So Jesus began to teach, and he wanted to give us an idea or a mental picture of heaven. What is heaven like? Because that's what everyone wonders and questions, and we really want to know. So Jesus, in Matthew chapter 22, he says, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a king who prepare a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servant to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened cattle have been butchered. So here's this picture of what the food they're serving in heaven. The oxen and the fattened calves. And the same way the food was served when the prodigal son comes home. Come to the wedding banquet. But they said, they paid no attention and went off to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants and mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army to destroy those murderers and burn their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those who I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone who find soul the serve anyone you can find. So the servant went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. The wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie his hand and his foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. So this picture where a king is throwing a banquet. And he sent out invitations. You're invited to my wedding. My son is getting married and you're invited and you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is come. But many made excuses. Oh, I have things I have to do. Some attended their business. I got business to take care of. I have a family to feed. I need to go to work. Some make excuses. I just can't come. I just can't go. Sorry, just can't go. So the king got really frustrated and he says, you know what? That's okay. Go out to the street corners and invite everyone to my wedding. But there's one man who was there. And then the king noticed, what is this guy doing here without wedding attire? So apparently there's a wedding crasher. Who's this guy? Who's this guy showing up without the wedding attire? So, and he ordered the servants to tie him up and throw him out. And that part is hard, right? You're like, God really doing that? Like, there's a guy at the wedding, and then he's just going to tie him up and throw him out because he didn't have the appropriate wedding attires? But that's what's fascinating about the story of God. The invitation was out. All you have to do is to accept it. The problem is some people you might know or around you, the whole story is Jesus trying to illustrate to them, to the people, and to us. We can't make excuses in life when we are going to accept Jesus. Some people say, oh, I'll do it later. I'll do it on my death. I'll wait until I'm ready. Well, when are you going to be ready? Because the wedding invitation is now. And when Jesus comes, when he comes back, you might go up to the door and tries to get in, and Jesus says, you don't have appropriate wedding attire. That wedding attire is your acceptance of his invitation of salvation through the blood, through him confessing that he is the Son of God, that you are baptized, that your heart change and transform. That's the invitation now. But you know too many people. You know that. It is just excuses after excuses. Oh, I can't. I got to go to work. Some people feel and think that they can build their life in heaven through work, through just being good enough. If I'm a good person, then I'll be okay. Well, we see what happened when a good person who thinks that okay showed up without the appropriate attire. That attire is the confession, the baptism of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the attire. So this guy who thought his whole life, oh, I got to go work, shows up. And God says, tie him up. He doesn't have the appropriate attire. Some people say, oh, I'm busy. I'm just busy doing other things. Maybe other religions. Maybe other meditation methods. Maybe you just belong to some kind of counseling group. Or you think you have enough support group to where that will get you into heaven. And when you show up, and Jesus would say, you don't have the appropriate attire. That attire is the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, and his baptism, that he made the sacrifice for you and I. That is the wedding invitation. And we might think that's harsh, where God would tie someone and throw them. You hear me say this all the time. God's word does not care about our feelings. Amen? My feelings needs to tune in to God's word. Because when that day comes, your feelings doesn't matter. But what you profess as your faith, as Jesus, as your Lord, as your Savior, that's what matters most. Amen? That is the wedding invitation. So, Jesus told a parable where some of the invites were invited, but they didn't show up. So he went out. A little theology here. So the first invitation was to the Jews. Jesus came for the Jews, and they rejected him. So now he's inviting everyone, which is the Gentiles, which is you and I. So we were invited to the wedding. And in Revelation 19, it says, then I heard a sound like a great multitude, like the roaring of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouted, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. The bride that made ready herself ready is you and I. We put in our makeup through baptism. We put on the best attire that we have through our confession of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We had made ourselves ready, just speaking of the words in your heart, accepting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That is how we made ourselves ready. And that's all we have to do. And when we get to the kingdom of heaven, we're given fine linens. That means the sign of forgiveness, the sign that you are found perfect in God when you get there. And you get to sit at a table, and you eat, and you drink. Take it easy on the drinks, all right? We don't serve wine here, but I figure heaven will probably serve wine, as Jesus instructed it. Because his first miracle was turning water into wine to keep the wedding going. The food won't be sausage and egg, but will be oxen and fattened calves. Maybe some lobster thrown in there. Paul, just for you. Maybe some lobster thrown in there. But the message of the gospel is so simple about this invitation from God. It's through his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And in Revelation 19, that comes to life. And we see that picture. So at the end of the meal, Jesus took the cup. Around your table, there's the cup. So if you can just grab the cup. There's pre-packaged cup, but also there's some are in the containers there. If you can take one and pour out to everybody on the table. Jesus, after the meal, he says, this is my blood poured out for you. The blood of the covenant, the new covenant. See, in the old covenant, the Jewish people once a year would have to go to the temple and to make a sacrifice. And the blood of the goat or the lamb or whatever animal they bring, that's a sign of washing away of their sins. And Jesus, that night, he says, this is my blood poured out for you once and for all. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. Let's take it together. And that is the new covenant from God to us. So when Jesus, his body on the cross, his blood poured out, that is the new covenant. But also that is the wedding invitation. So my question for you is this, right? Are you one of the servants in Matthew where every Sunday you're here or you hear the message through wherever, through the radio or on TV, whatever it may be, or you're watching this online, you hear this all the time. Are you one of those servants that says, oh, I got work. I got work to do. I got to be here. I got to be there. I have homework to do. I have things I got to take care of. I got yards to mow. I have all these things going on that I can't. And you put off your salvation. You put off your baptism. You put off your confession of Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You might have a million excuses. Say, well, I don't need to. I don't have to. You know, God loves me because I'm a good enough person. And you crash the wedding one day, as it shows in Matthew 22. And God says, tie him up, throw him out. And I know that doesn't resonate with a lot of people, especially in our day and age where everyone is fine, everyone's nice, everyone told to have, everyone be nice to everybody. But the scripture hasn't changed, and God has his way. And he will have his way. So the invitation for you is today. The food is ready. The table is set. The invitation is out. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Today. How many more excuses do we have? Because if you ever wonder what happened in Revelation, this happened to the believers, and you might be outside. And that is the honest truth. And I'm sorry to say that, but I'm not sorry because I know where I am. Because I have professed that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, I've been baptized, that his blood, his body had made the ultimate sacrifice for me. Amen. As the band come forward, for the next few moments, as they get ready to come forward, we don't have to play right away. I just want to commune a little bit more. You're going to hear my cue of the invitation. Just take the next few moments to think about it on your own or chat with people at your table. If you are thinking about getting baptized today or accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, in a few moments, I'm going to throw out the invitation, and that's your time to respond. But let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are and your love and your grace. That today might be the day that we accept the invitation to the wedding. As Revelation 19 come alive in our sanctuary this morning, I ask that you open our hearts to truly understand communion, your invitation, and at the table. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen.